Welcome to D&B College. Today we're carving out something really special inside Ableton Live 12. A jungle pad drift. Not a glossy trance pad. Not a big cinematic wash. But a moving, hazy, slightly haunted atmosphere that sits behind the drums and bass and gives the tune that deep old-school jungle emotion. The whole point here is control. In drum and bass, pads can go wrong fast. They can blur the snare, smear the break detail, and steal space from the sub. So we're not just making something pretty. We're building a pad that breathes with the groove, supports the record's identity, and still leaves the low end clean. First thing, start with harmony that actually feels like jungle. Keep it short and suggestive. A 2-bar or 4-bar loop is enough. Think minor 7ths sus chords or a moody modal movement. Don't overstack the voicing. You want just enough information for the listener to feel a location, not a full chord textbook. A good trick is to hold or repeat a root note in the low mid area, then let one upper note move by step into the next chord. That tiny movement creates drift. Why this works in D&B is simple. Jungle thrives on loop memory. The harmony can repeat while the break and bass evolve, and that repetition becomes hypnotic. So ask yourself, does this loop feel like a place, not just a chord exercise? And does one note feel like it can lean into the next bar? Now choose your source. You've got two strong directions here. One is sampler haze, the other is synth haze. If you want the most old-school, record-like character, go sample-based. Pull in a chord stab, a string hit, a vocal fragment, or some dusty atmospheric material and load it into sampler. If it already sits well, you can leave warp off for more natural drift. Loop a stable section and shape it with a filter and envelope that gives you that slightly worn sampler feel, which is golden jungle. If you want more precision, use wave-eatable or analog. Wave-eatable gives you more movement and harmonic texture. Analog gives you a rounder, warmer bass. Just keep it restrained. We're not building a supersaw anthem. We're building a textured bid with character. Next, shape the envelope so it breathes properly. You want the attack soft enough to avoid a harsh hit, but not so slow that it misses the groove. A good starting point is around 10 to 40 milliseconds on attack. Release can sit anywhere from 300 milliseconds to 1.5 seconds, depending on how much tail you want. If the pad is supporting a break, make sure it arrives musically and doesn't smear over the snare. If it's an intro texture, you can let it bloom a little more. What to listen for here is whether the pad arrives in a musical way or whether it steps on the backbeat. Also listen to the tail. Does it hang into the next phrase nicely, or does it clutter the groove? Now we carve. This is where the pad starts becoming D&B friendly. Put EQ 8 early in the chain and remove the low weight aggressively. A high pass somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz is a good starting point, but let your ears decide. If there's muddy buildup, cut gently around 250 to 500 Hz. If it gets nasal, look around 700 Hz to 1.2 kHz. And if the top gets brittle, tame a little around 3 to 6 kHz. This matters a lot in jungle because the pad should live above the rethal estate of the bass and kick. The break needs its body, the snare needs its crack, and the sub needs its foundation. A pad can bring emotion, but it should not be fighting for the lower mids. Keep the weight out, keep the useful warmth, and stop the pad from hissing over the cymbals. Now for the drift itself. Movement is essential, but it has to be controlled. A slow filter LFO is one of the best options. You can also move wave-eatable positions slowly, or add tiny detune between layers. The idea is subtle motion, not a big effect sweep. Think 1/2 bar to 4 bars of motion, depending on the vibe. The depth should be small enough that you feel the tone changing rather than hearing a dramatic wobble. A good drift is almost subliminal. If you mute the pad, the track feels flatter. If you focus hard on the pad, you notice it breathing. That's the sweet spot. And once the movement feels right, don't be afraid to freeze, flatten, or resample. In an advanced session, printing that motion to audio often makes the texture feel more real, more like a sampled record, and it also saves CPU. Now decide what role the pad is playing. Is it harmonic glue, or is it a rhythmic responder? If it's glue, let it hold longer notes and span the bar or 2 bars. That works beautifully for intros, breakdowns, and emotional rollers. If it's a responder, chop it into shorter phrases and let it answer the drums. That can be amazing in jungle, because it gives you call and response energy in the negative space between break hits. Both approaches work. The right one depends on the arrangement. If the bass line is busy, the glued pad may be safer. If the break has lots of syncopation and you want more attitude, the responder version can be killer. From there, add character with saturation and width control. A chain like EQ8, then saturator, then a touch of chorus ensemble or light modulation. Then utility is a strong stock Ableton approach. Drive the saturator lightly, maybe 1 to 4 dB. You want density, not fuzz. Soft clip can help if the pad spikes a little during automation. Then check the stereo image carefully. If it's too wide, narrow it. If it's too trapped, widen only after the low end is already under control. What to listen for now is whether saturation makes the pad feel older and more present, or just harsher. And with stereo, ask if the width is actually helping space, or if it's smearing the chord focus. Mono compatibility matters here. In club music, if the pad disappears in mono, it's not trustworthy. Now bring the whole groove into the picture. Listen to the pad against the actual kick, snare, break, and bass line. This is where you find the real answer. Does the pad mask the snare crack around 180 to 250 Hz? Does it cloud the ghost notes? Does it fight the upper harmonics of the bass? If yes, carve more. If it disappears completely, don't just crank the volume. Try a touch more upper mid presence, or a little more saturation, so it reads through the drum energy. That's a big D&B mindset shift right there. A pad soloing nicely means almost nothing. A pad that works in context is what matters. Now automate it like an arrangement tool, not just a sound effect. In the intro, keep it filtered and reduced. In the pre-drop, open the filter slowly over 4 or 8 bars. In the drop, thin it out so the drums and bass dominate. In the breakdown, let it bloom again. Then in the second drop, bring back a transformed version, not the exact same one. Maybe a higher inversion. Maybe a shorter tail. Maybe a slightly more degraded print. You can automate filter cutoff, width, reverb send, or even just the sustain feel of the notes. The goal is to make the room open and close around the groove. Not a dramatic solo, just enough movement that the listener feels the track evolving. This is a great place to make 3 versions early if you want to work fast. One darker, more filtered version for the drop. One slightly more open version for intros and breakdowns. And one printed version with the processing baked in. That gives you arrangement options without endlessly revisiting the same decisions. If you want to push it further, try a ghost chord version. Reduce the harmony to just the most emotionally useful intervals, like root and minor third, or root, fifth and seventh. That can sound really haunted and very old school. Or go for a degraded resample version. Print the pad, then high pass it a little harder, saturate it gently, and automate it differently. That often feels more like a sample pulled from a dusty record than a synth patch. For darker, heavier D&B, remember this. Dark does not mean dull. Keep enough upper mid texture that the pad still reads through distorted bass and busy breaks. And if you want menace, try closing the filter slowly before the drop instead of always opening it. Sometimes tension comes from denial, not exposure. One more advanced habit that helps a lot. Mute the pad for a full section. Then bring it back. If the track suddenly loses depth, but the drums feel better without it, the pad is probably doing too much in the low mids or the stereo field. If the track becomes flat and emotionally empty, then the pad is doing real work. That test tells you a lot very quickly. Now here's your mini practice challenge. Build 1 8-bar jungle pad drift using only stock Ableton devices. Keep it above the low end with EQ. Use 1 main harmonic idea and 1 main movement method. Make at least 1 automation move across the 8 bars. Then create a second version, either by printing the audio or changing the inversion and texture slightly. A slash be it against your drums and bass. Make sure the snare still cuts through, the break still feels alive, and the pad feels like it belongs to the tune, not just the background. So the recap is this. A great jungle pad drift comes from tight harmony, filtered tone shaping, slow movement, and arrangement-aware automation. Keep it emotionally rich, but technically disciplined. Remove low-end clutter. Control the width. Move slowly. Check it against the drums and bass every step of the way. If it deepens the record without blurring the groove, you've nailed it. Now go build that 8-bar drift, print a variation, and hear how much deeper your jungle tune gets when the atmosphere starts behaving like part of the rhythm section.